plates for the connoisseur in a strictly limited edition. It was confusing but instructive. And when a rather fey young tutor, engaged by the priests, tried to introduce him to certain athletic techniques favoured by the classical pseudopolitans, Tepic considered the suggestion for some time and then floored the youth with a hat stand. Tepic hadn't been educated. Education had just settled on him like dandruff. It started to rain in the world outside his head. Another new experience. He'd heard about it, of course, how water came down out of the sky in small bits. He just hadn't expected there to be so much of it. It never rained in Djeli Baby. Masters moved among the boys like damp and slightly scruffy blackbirds, but he was eyeing a group of older students lolling near the pillared entrance to the school. They also wore black, different colours of black. That was his first introduction to the tertiary colours, the colours on the far side of blackness, the colours that you get if you split blackness with an eight-sided prism. They are also almost impossible to describe in a non-magical environment, but if someone were to try, they'd probably start by telling you to smoke something illegal and take a good look at a starling's wing. The seniors were critically inspecting the new arrivals. Tepic stared at them. Apart from the colours, their clothes were cut off the edge of the latest fashion, which was currently inclining towards wide hats, padded shoulders, narrow waists, and pointed shoes, and gave its followers the appearance of being very well-dressed nails. "I'm going to be like them," he told himself. "Although probably better dressed," he added. He recalled Uncle Wirt sitting out on the steps overlooking the Djel on one of his brief mysterious visits.
"Satin and leather are no good, or jewellery of any kind. You can't have anything that will shine or squeak or clink. Stick to rough silk or velvet. The important thing is not how many people you inhume. It's how many fail to inhume you."
He'd been moving at an unwise pace, which might assist now. As he arced over the emptiness of the alley, he twisted in the air, thrust out his arms desperately, and felt his fingertips brush a ledge on the building opposite. It was enough to pivot him. He swung round, hit the crumbling brickwork with sufficient force to knock what remained of his breath out of him, and slid down the sheer wall.
"Boy?"
Tepic looked up. There was a senior assassin standing beside him with a purple teaching sash over his robes. It was the first assassin he'd seen, apart from Wirt. The man was pleasant enough. You could imagine him making sausages.
"Are you talking to me?" he said. "You will stand up when you address a master," said the rosy face.
"I will?" Tepic was fascinated. He wondered how this could be achieved. Discipline had not hitherto been a major feature in his life. Most of his tutors had been sufficiently unnerved by the sight of the king occasionally perched on top of a door that they raced through such lessons as they had and then locked themselves in their rooms.
"I will, sir," said the teacher. He consulted the list in his hand. "What is your name, boy?"
he continued.
"Prince Potepic of the Old Kingdom, the Kingdom of the Sun," said Tepic easily. "I appreciate you are ignorant of the etiquette, but you should not call me sir, and you should touch the ground with your forehead when you address me."
"Potepic, is it?" said the master.
"No, Tepic."
"Ah, Tepic,"
said the master, and ticked off a name on his list. He gave Tepic a generous smile.
"Well now, your majesty," he said, "I am Grunworth Nivor, your housemaster. You are in Viper House. To my certain knowledge, there are at least 11 kingdoms of the sun on the disk, and before the end of the week, you will present me with a short essay detailing their geographical location, political complexion, capital city or principal seat of government, and a suggested route into the bedchamber of the head of state of your choice. However, in all the world, there is only one Viper House. Good morning to you, boy."
He turned away and homed in on another cowering pupil.
"He's not a bad sort," said a voice behind Tepic. "Anyway, all the stuff's in the library. I'll show you if you like. I'm Chidder."
Tepic turned. He was being addressed by a boy of about his own age and height, whose black suit, plain black for first years, looked as though it had been nailed onto him in bits. The youth was holding out a hand. Tepic gave it a polite glance.
"Yes," he said. "What's your name, kiddo?"
Tepic drew himself up. He was getting fed up with this treatment.
kiddo. I'll have you know the blood of pharaohs runs in my veins." The other boy looked at him unabashed,